badminton. Sam and Chloe McGee won the mixed doubles title at the Irish Open. The Rafoe siblings won the title for the very first time together, beating the English duo of Harley Tyler and Emily Westwood. It was in straight sets, 21-13, 21-12 in the final. Speaking on Sunday Sport after their victory, Sam said that it was a relief to eventually win the national title together.
Yeah, it was really crazy emotions. We put so much pressure on ourselves all week to win this tournament. It's eluded us for the last couple of years, so to eventually get over it was such a relief and joy at the same time. And then to win it in front of friends and family was really, really nice. Last year was a very hard defeat. You know, we came to the final and just one of those days where we didn't perform. Mentally, it wasn't good. I think, you know, that was in the back of our minds going into this year. Would it happen again, or could we get it over the line? And then there was also the added pressure that it was on TV. We had a lot of people texting to say they were watching us. But definitely we used last year as a bit of inspiration to get over the line for this year. We actually had a Malaysian player who was used to be in the world. He was the top of the world at one stage in men's doubles. So he came over to coach us and spar with us for 2 weeks. It was a very good initiative by Badminton Ireland and the Irish Sports Council. They give us some extra money for this kind of sparring coaching. And, you know, just his world-class level experience and different ways of seeing a game helped us bring up our speed. But we've also had a very good year's training, so I think everything was a bit more sharp and a bit more different this year, and maybe a bit more confident too. I think it kind of all added up into one big package.
That was Sam McGee following the Irish Open title victory along with his sister Chloe, of course, as they won a mixed double title in Ireland for the first time together. Chris?
Yeah, Chloe, of course, a former Olympian, and it's amazing how the success just keeps coming, and badminton in Ireland continues to be on the up. And earlier this month, Ireland actually qualified as one of the top eight teams to compete at the European Mixed Team Championships in Copenhagen in February, and Chloe and Sam McGee together in the mixed doubles. So much to look forward to next year.
Yeah, and as we touched on earlier as well, it's been not a bad year for Rachel Darragh, getting experience once again in big competitions. She was there at the Commonwealth Games back in April. Let's go to boxing. Jason Quigley won the county's first professional boxing title in 2017 and successfully defended his crown this year. On the last day of March, Jason made a winning return to the ring in Boston by stopping Daniel Rosario on the 6th round, and then later in October he again retained the NABF middleweight title with a victory over Freddie Hernandez at the Fantasy Springs Resort in California. In doing so, the Twin Towns native maintained his unbeaten professional record that is now extended to 15 wins. Quigley's victory over Hernandez was a unanimous decision, with the three judges scoring it in favour of the Donegal man. And as always, there was a big crowd that turned out to welcome Jason Quigley back to his hometown after that one.
This is what it's all about. You know, it's not just about turning pro and when's Quigley going to be world champion. Like, you know, this is the kind of the word on people's lips is, when's he going to be world champion? You know, there's a process to it. There's a, if it was easy, there'd be a lot more people at it, and there'd be a lot more people at this level. And you know, getting in with the likes of Freddie Hernandez, I wanted to get in with the likes of him because he has been to levels that I want to get to. You know, he's boxed for the world title. He's boxed Bobo Andrade, who at the weekend became three-time world champion. Erislandy Lara, multiple world champion. And he went the distance with all them as well. You know, and when I fought him there now last Thursday night, that was his last crack at the whoop. I got a man, it's like a wounded animal, do you know what I mean? And I seen it in him. I was won in the fight easy. Into the fifth round, I cut him open. The blood started streaming down, and I seen the frustration and the anger on his face. Because he knew the fight could have been stopped because of the cut, and he didn't want it stopped. There was a urgency, there was a determination in him. He wanted to win that fight badly because he knew that was his last chance, and that was his chance of making one more go at this boxing. And those are the type of fighters that I want to be in with. I want to be in with fighters that are going to be in there and wanting to win, wanting to hurt me, because those are the types of fights that you learn in. Those are the types of fight that you grow, and you can't buy that experience.
Listen, you've had a bit of adversity to face in this year. You've had the injury with the hand. You didn't get as many fights as you wanted in 2018. But looking ahead now, how big is 2019 going to be for Jason Quigley?
That's going to be massive, you know what I mean? Like, as I says earlier and stated, I've been at this boxing since I was 11 years of age. I'm 27 now, and it's only starting to get exciting. You know what I mean? It's 17 years of boxing, and now's the time where you reap the rewards. Now's the time that all that apprenticeship that you've put in through the years, all the hard times, all the good times, you roll it all up together now, you put it all together, and you use every single ounce of that to get your dreams, to get your goals, to get what you've set out to get to. And for me, that's to become world champion. And you know, I'm very critical on myself. No matter if I'd have knocked Hernandez out in the first round, I would have found something wrong with it. And performance wise on my last fight, was I happy with it? No. Was I happy with it overall of my other fights? No. Do you know what I mean? I know there's always room for improvement, there's always stages there, and there's always things to perfect, and that's the type of person that I am. You know, I was back in the gym this morning. I just got home from LA last night, straight back into the gym this morning. No, I'm so willing to learn, I'm so willing to get better, to perfect things, and to be honest, just become the best version I can possibly be, because I know once I do that, I can achieve anything I set my mind to.
Jason Quigley, who has defended his NABF middleweight title, but I'm sure, Patsy, that he has his eyes now focused on what's going to be coming up in 2019 and looking to progress on from where he's at the moment.
Well, absolutely. You know, 2019's got to be a key year for him in terms of his career. And, you know, his plan right now would be to fight that weekend of Paddy's weekend, that 16th, 17th, on the East Coast of in the States. And whether that's Boston, whether that's New York, that'll be decided very shortly, and he'll go back for a 10-week camp now before that, so into Sheffield. So, you know, he's got to be fighting a few fights, he's got to be winning a few fights, and he's got to put himself into a position come end of 2019, get into 2020, that a world title fight is on the cards, because, you know the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You know, through injury and the various problems, he hasn't got maybe the number of fights that he should have got, and you know, he knows this and he realizes this, and right now he's got 10 weeks, returns to Sheffield in a week's time, and he's got to get dug in, and he's got to get this fight in the States over and done and dusted and won, and then move on and get those two or three fights. But everything I'm saying, he knows, but he's got to deliver.
Yeah. We're all expecting a big year from Jason Quigley come 2019. There was another fighter as well, Chris, from the Northwest, that picked up a title. That was former Elias Golden Gloves fighter Tyrone McCullough. On the last day of June, he won his super Celtic bantamweight bout against Joe Hamm, despite being knocked down in the third round of the contest at the SSE Arena in Belfast. And by winning that, he then progressed on to fight for the vacant WBO European Super Bantamweight title in October, and he had a unanimous points victory over Josh Kennedy in Belfast. The Northern Irishman extended his 12 fight unbeaten record with a convincing victory at the Titanic Exhibition Centre. All judges scored the 10 round contest in favour of McCullough, who's 28 years of age, but he's worked hard through the amateur ranks and in the pro ranks, and he got himself a title at the end of it, Chris.
Yeah, kept plugging away, kept at it, as you say, 28 years of age. So it was important this year that he got to have that opportunity. And in that 10-round contest, I think all three judges scored in his favour, so he deserved it, and he'll look back, and the hard work has paid off.
Yeah, and young Leah Gallen from Rafaux Boxing Club, 16 years of age, won a bronze medal at the European Junior Boxing Championships in Russia, just losing out on a 3-2 split decision for a silver medal. But Patsy, we'll go back to you, because you were there that night at Jason Quigley's homecoming, and Leah Gallen was there too. And when she had time to reflect back on her achievement, she was disappointed at the time that she didn't get silver, having come so close. But at 16 years of age, to go there to Russia and take a bronze medal, it was exceptional, because them medals are hard to come by, and there hasn't been too many at that age group won by Irish.
Absolutely, and a daunting experience for a young girl. And so the fact that she was able to handle it, that she was able to medal, and the fact that she was disappointed are all positive. So, you know, you only can wish her well, and, you know, she's just on the ladder right now. So, you know, I think she appreciates that, and she's just got to build and get up that ladder year by year, day by day, and move forwards. And we look forward to see how that develops.
Okay, let's move on to some of the other stories on the Gaelic Games front. In the early part of our Best of Series, we did, of course, touch on Donegal's Ulster Champions, where we looked at the county senior men and ladies who won Ulster titles in 2018. And then there was those fantastic performances and achievements by Gudor and Red Hughes GA clubs as they won the respective senior and junior Ulster titles, and now go into the All-Ireland Series with matches coming up now in the early part of the year. But there was other stories as well. We'll go to football first of all, and Tyrone went all the way to the All-Ireland Final, Dermot.
Yeah, and when you look back on 2018 and the All-Ireland Series as a whole, Oisin, it was an historic year because it was the first time to try this Super 8s situation, which generated a lot of debate. There was huge interest in it just to see how it would work and if it would be a success. And Donegal got themselves into the Super 8s after a great run in Ulster, going all the way and scoring, you know, big scores in each of their games, defeating Cavan, Derry, Down and Fermanagh on their way to that Ulster title win. And just like Tyrone, got themselves into the Super 8s. Monaghan were in the other section as well. And it certainly generated plenty of interest. Donegal losing out against Dublin in Croke Park, and then they beat Roscommon in their second game in the Super 8s, and that set up that kind of winner-takes-all match against Tyrone and Balbuffet. Unfortunately, Donegal just came up short on that occasion.
Yeah, and Tyrone eventually making it through to the All-Ireland Final, where they lost out against a Dublin side who were on form once again on the big stage. 2-17 to 1-14 was how it finished, and it was Dublin who completed four in a row senior titles. And Tyrone manager Mickey Hart wasn't too downbeat afterwards at the homecoming in Gervaghaie on the Monday evening.
Good to be here, and it's good to be anywhere that there's lots of Tyrone supporters, and you've come out with such numbers tonight. It's a credit to you all, because it's easy to come back here with the Sam Maguire and see loads and loads of people in the street, but to see so many here tonight when we haven't got the cup, I think that says a lot more about you as people, and we appreciate you very much for that. Again, we had a banquet last night in Dublin, and I was not looking forward to it one little bit, because we'd been lucky enough to have three previous banquets where we had the cup and everything was perfect, and it was the perfect ending to the story of the year. This was the first time we were going without the Sam Maguire, and I thought it was going to be a really damp squib. Well, it was anything but. Anything but. It was a real night of celebration, a real night of appreciation, a night of appreciation of what the people of the county thought about what this team did during this year. And I must say, the players embraced that too, and they enjoyed the occasion, and they were still enjoying it this morning and right through to be left in Dublin there. So I think it's a credit to them that they took this on the chin and they are ready for more.
That was Tyrone manager Mickey Hart speaking at the homecoming for Tyrone, having lost out in that All-Ireland final to Dublin. It was always going to be hard to beat the Dubs, Dermot, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Dublin were going for a four in a row, weren't they? The final itself, it was a decent game, but you always felt that Dublin had that wee bit more in the tank. They were always able to lift it and move up another gear, and eventually saw off Tyrone by 6 points in the end, but brought the curtain down on a pretty good All-Ireland Football Championship. But it was probably, you know, people talk about the hurling and the All-Ireland Hurling Championship this year. There were some super games, some really exciting clashes right throughout the championship, all the way through to the final. So I think hurling might have won out this year.
Yeah, and there's changes on the football front, but that's for another day. They're trying to make it more entertaining. But there was All-Stars at the end of the year as well for two Tyrone players, Colm Kavanagh and Pádraig Hamsay, deservedly so. And Ryan McHugh from Donegal was also named as one of the 15 on the All-Star team. On the hurling front, Donegal produced a super second half display to win the Nicky Rackard Cup for just the second time as they overcame Warwickshire 2-19 to 18 points at Croke Park. And there was a man of the match performance from Declan Coulter, who scored 1-9. An All-Ireland hurling title for Donegal. We'll hear from Coulter shortly, but the captain on that day that lifted the cup on the steps of the Hogan Stand was Danny Cullen. Danny Cullen, captain of Donegal. You walk the steps here in the Hogan Stand, the left and Nicky Rackard trophy. You talked about it being a dream in the lead up to the game. Now that dream's a reality.
Yeah, just super now, just actually over the moon, like, and just delighted for everyone involved in the panel, like, because it's been a huge effort all year, like, and we just said this was the icing on the cake, like, and, you know, just really capped it off a wonderful year for us, like.
Four down at half time. What was the dressing room like at the break before he's come out for that second 35?
Look, we knew like they really had us airing that first half, like, you know, and we were on the back foot for most of it, you know, but we managed just to stay with them, like, you know, and just ride the storm, like. But so with half time then we regrouped, but we always knew every throughout the year, like, you know, even we're playing National League, we're playing against quality opposition, regular opposition like Wicklow and stuff, like, we never panicked six down. You'd always just realise all the chance, you have the players there to claw it back into it, like, and thankfully, you know, that's just what happened. Like, we just stayed the ship and got relaxed. And
yeah, there's always goals in this team. There's been goals all throughout the games this year, even against the big sides and the league. And you managed to get the two in the second half, which really put you on your
way. Huge, like, you know, to be honest, you wouldn't expect Gavin Brown to go far that far, like, but geez, when he did it, he took it well, like, and, you know, really, really gives a lift, like. And but then that forward line's been quality, like, you know, they open up the space everywhere, like, you know, and like last day Davin was on fire, like, where today, you know, you see Jerry Gilmore really come into himself, and Declan really stood up to play it there today. Like, he got vital scores, vital times, and especially that goal, you know, just fair play to them, like, you know. But that's the quality of having the forward line, you know, and that's why I suppose we always never panic. We knew we've always, no matter if 6 points down, you always have the people, the team, the players to claw back into it, like. So,
well, Declan Coulter, what does it feel like to be an All Ireland champion, Nicky Rackard winner?
It's brilliant. Just, it would have been a shame to come down here and leave it behind us, especially after the work we've put in all year. But it's brilliant. It's exactly how everybody describes it. Just an unbelievable feeling. And I spoke during the week about playing in Croke Park and winning in Croke Park, two very, very different feelings. And just delighted that every man put the shoulder to the wheel today, and, you know, good performance. Probably not our best performance, but it doesn't matter. It's just whatever it takes to get over the line. And thankfully, final whistle gone, and it's just relief more than anything, I suppose, at the final whistle.
How special is it in there? We're outside the changing rooms here, coming back in there with a group of players that have just won an All-Ireland. Can you sort of explain that feeling?
It's just looking around, it's just happiness, a wee bit of relief. I think there's a lot of men there have been around a long time. I'm fairly new to the setup here, but I have a lot of miles built up myself. But, you know, you see James E. Donnelly, didn't go for James E. today on a personal level, but he's the happiest man in the changing room. And that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter if it's one man that does it one day and another man will get it the next day. And that's just what the whole year has been about. And the whole ethos that Mickey and Gabriel and Paul have brought to it have been fantastic. Like.
Man of the match on Nicky Rackard's Cup final day at Croke Park, a game which was won by Donegal. That was Declan Coulter. Not a bad year for the hurlers, was it, Chris?
It was a magnificent year, and maybe it wasn't such a big surprise winning the Nicky Rackard Cup, because they laid the foundations during the league programme. For the first time ever, they stayed up in Division 2B, and they had wins over Armagh, Down and Derry at competitive level for the first time at senior level. So that just shows the strides that have been made. And interesting to see, you know, it used to always be a case of Burton Satanta, but if we look at the Donegal under 21 hurling final, which was played this month, that had Buncran and St Eunan's in the final. So the game is growing. It's getting more competitive for the championship, and with the likes of Declan Coulter, as you mentioned there, and Davin Flynn, the Tipperary native, they've really made a big impact as well. And when we see people like Stephen Gillespie and Coulter in the Champions 15, it just shows that Donegal hurling is really on the up.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's go to motorsport once again, and as we told you at the start of the programme, we had a feature Manus Kelly and Donal Barrett won in the three in a row, which was three in a row Donegal International Rally titles. They won the first in 2016. They done that magic three in a row in 2018, and you can recap that three in a row programme in the sports section of our website and in the playback section as well, highlandradio.com, where you can recap on the first four episodes of this best of series 2018. But elsewhere in the rally cars, in the middle of October, Letchermeg Awards Declan Boyle won a third National Rally Championship title after an 8th place finish in the Donegal Harvest Stages Rally. His latest success came with new co-driver James O'Reilly, a victory in Mayo, and a consistent second place finishes in the likes of Kerry, Cavan and Tipperary in the early part of the season was the foundation to Declan winning the title.
It was great to win it three times. I think the only chap ever to win it was Niamh Maguire, so it's good to be a par with him. Championships is hard to win, and this year really showed us that. There's that many ups and downs. We had a good few seconds and we got the power stage, which, you know, when you won the rally you get 20 points, and when you have to come second and get the power stage, well, you get 19 points. So sometimes you're better off battling for second, position. But no, good to get the third one.
So you went into this with a comfortable lead, and yet at the end, the margins weren't that great because Josh Moffat and Joe McGonigal both gave it a good shot.
They definitely did, yeah, give it a good shot. We had to finish in the top eight today, and that's what we've done. We fell back after the first couple of stages there to, I think it was 19th overall, so we had to speed it up a bit. But it was a tricky day to go overboard, and it'd be easy going off too. And it's hard to not go fast. So you're in the middle there, in the middle ground, and it's not easy to do that.
Well, it really was quite an eventful Harvest Rally based at Jackson's Hotel in Balbuffet. Declan Boyle had actually been sick the night before and wasn't in the best of shape, but a great drive for him. There were plenty of twists and turns, and the conditions were absolutely atrocious. But a great day for him. Kevin Eaves, he's had another good season in the ever-trusty Toyota Corolla, once again enjoying success in the National, and again the Donegal Cruise very much to the fore. And of course, at a higher level in the WRC, Chris Meek now back with Toyota. And everybody's already looking forward to next year.
They are indeed. Okay, we're going to go for a quick commercial break. We're going to have news at the top of the hour. We're hoping Jeremy's going to cheer up a bit in studio because Spurs have been beaten today. They lost out against Wolverhampton Wanderers by 3-1. We'll have the details shortly.